Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Nani Colaretti, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Nani, despite recent advances in programs such as telework and alternative work schedules, HUD has historically operated a traditional definition of the workplace. Would you tell us more about how the department is reducing the cost of lease space, utilities, travel, and other costs? What are you doing in this area to change the way people do work?
Yeah, we're doing quite a lot, actually. So it's interesting. I actually found pretty great use of alternative work schedules and telework in HUD compared to Treasury, the agency I came from. Yeah. So, and I think that was forged with in partnership with the union. And there are some jobs at HUD where you really can't telework because you're really there for the stakeholder that's walking in. So it's very hard to actually, you know, not be there when they walk in. But there are there's a lot of technical work and other kinds of work that can be done with a telework arrangement. And so, you know, we have this question on the EVS, which is whether supervisors support work-life programs. They call them work-life programs. That went up 4.6 percentage points year over year. And we're basically in line with the government average on that score. But I happen to know that we do make pretty great use of that across the agency. But what that means is that we actually do need to get better at figuring out how to use our lease space. I think I mentioned to you earlier in the segment that we have been doing this complete transformation of our multifamily staff. What that means is that some offices... So what we did was actually move people, by the way. We made regional hubs for certain kinds of processing of the loans. That we found that to actually make the processing go faster.
Wow.
Yeah. So what that means is some offices have, you know, a ton of empty space because they were net losers of staff, and some offices are squished in. Mm-hmm. And then at headquarters itself, where a third of our staff is, we have some folks in lease buildings, and then we have this big, huge HUD, beautiful HUD building on, if you haven't seen it, on 7th Street Southwest. it's in the brutalist style. Anyway, so we are actually, we negotiated with our union. We just signed an updated contract with our largest union, American Federation of Government Employees. We're going to set a new standard utilization rate for space that will greatly help us in doing some of the things that really the modern workplace needs. But if you think about it, if you are making great use of telework, it actually is a good idea to have more flexible workspaces, and you don't really need a whole big office with three windows if you're not going to, you know, be there a day or two a week. So we're working on that with urgency and in partnership with GSA, General Services Administration.
That's a nice transition because I talked to many of my guests about partnerships and collaboration, how they're using it to meet mission and outcomes. What are you doing in this area? How are you leveraging partnerships and collaboration?
Yeah, so we're doing a lot in this area. So I'm so glad I can talk about this for a little bit. We partner with localities for almost all of our programs, but there are several that the president and Secretary Donovan and now Secretary Castro have really used to kind of amplify our work here. So we started with something called Strong Cities, Strong Communities, SC2. So sort of make it sound even shorter. And that's an initiative that Secretary Castro co-chairs with Cecilia Munoz of the Domestic Policy Council, really transforming how federal agencies partner with communities to identify local priorities and to meet them. And so this is the notion that many of these problems that people are trying to solve are interrelated, and working with the federal government is hard and can be kind of a mystery. So what we do is we deploy teams, interagency federal teams, into cities. They're usually led by a Fed team lead. And generally what we do is if you've won the designation to be an SC2 city, there's no money that comes with it, but it's a designation. What you get for it is you get a Fed embedded in your mayor's office for a couple of years. And they use this model where they listen to the community and do a needs assessment and then start to build out a plan to address the most pressing needs. And so there have been teams in 14 pilot cities and 8 active teams starting their second year in a number of cities. So it's a really cool sort of project, but you know, it's pretty small, right? So in order to scale it up, we have created something called the National Resource Network, or the NRN. And that is integrated technical assistance for all communities. So we're putting what we can on the web, and we have staff deployed to help up to 80 more communities on this model. And you think about it like a 311 for cities, where city managers can pose discrete policy questions to federal and public management experts through this NRN. So it's pretty cool. So this is really a one-stop shop for all federal-based TA. And there's a second initiative that we've been working on very with rigor. And it's called Promise Zones. And Promise Zones are for high-poverty communities. So they have to be over 32% or higher low-income. And it's the same thing. Where federal government is partnering with local leaders to increase economic activity and improve outcomes. So Promise Zones is also greatly leveraging private investment. So from the foundation community. And there's several things they're targeting: reducing violent crime, enhancing public health, and other priorities that are identified by the community. Again, you get a designation, so there's no money that's attached to it. You basically come in and say, I want to be a Promise Zone.
Sure.
So the interesting thing is I went into a community that was going to be receiving one of these, and what they said was a lot of times when they come together to apply for a federal grant, it's sort of, it can be more difficult because there's money at stake. This time, since there wasn't any money on stake, everybody came to the table.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
It is funny.
It's counterintuitive. Right.
Yeah.
But with no, there was no kind of jockeying for who's going to manage the grant and who gets the grant and all that stuff. And that's actually fantastic. And so we're working with HUD and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So there's some rural and some urban communities that are going to be designated. And then they basically get also staffing. You know, staffing to help navigate the federal system and to help do the kind of really difficult sort of community-based planning efforts that lead to better collaboration. And quite frankly, eventually it does lead to, it makes your application stronger if you're applying for a justice grant or an education grant or even a HUD grant. Your community will have done a lot of legwork already if you're getting help from a Promise Zone or from an SE2 to kind of leverage that kind of funding.
So, Nani, what advice would you give someone who may be thinking about a career in public service?
Well, I mean, of course, I'm biased. So, I think there is no higher calling. The beauty of being in public service is having a direct link to making people's lives better.
Mm-hmm.
So the mission can really inspire and encourage you to do a lot of hard work. Because the trade-off is, it can be very difficult. So you have to be willing to persevere and to sort of be a realistic optimist and look for opportunities, and just to be curious. Because when you're the federal government, I mean, it is, and quite frankly, you know, public service can be at any level. You're sort of entrusted with a lot of sort of responsibility. Because you need to be of the highest ethical standards, but you also are being asked to navigate and get something done in tricky, sort of hard to follow situation. And what I mean by that is just all of the rules and all of the bureaucracy. You have to basically not be worried about that, because I have seen really great things happen when you can navigate that. So I would just say perseverance, and if you really believe in the mission, then you should come work for the government.
Well, thank you for being here with me again today. It was great to have you back. I understand your schedule is very busy, so fitting us in was very helpful. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Nani Coloretti, Deputy Secretary, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.